Five, four, three, two, one, fire.
You're listening to SaintMichaelsPod.com. We have taken over control of your iPod or other MP3 listening device. Resistance is futile at this point. God's message will not self-destruct, whether you choose to accept his mission or not. At this time, we recommend that you relax, let go, and let God.
What do you have that you can give to the whole world? I remember once when I was a small child, my mother asked my sisters and me if we knew how much a person was worth. We took various guesses using those things which were important to us at the time. Certain toys, my mom's car, even our house were offered, and all were refused as the correct answer. Finally, I came up with what I thought was certain to be the right figure. $100. Even that was too little. My mother went on to explain that $100 or $1,000 or even $1,000,000 was still too little. She told us that all the money in the world was not worth as much as one person. All the money in the world! That was a huge concept for such little kids. Still, we grasped the meaning of it in our own childlike way. The reason I bring that memory up to you pod listeners and DTS members is that we've been studying the same thing, only in a slightly more mature fashion. We've been studying the lives of the saints who have lived in poverty, if need be, in order to bring the gospel to others. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man that he should gain the whole world yet lose his soul?" Obviously, money is not the say-all and end-all of this life. So what is? A few years back, my parish showed a part of a movie, Schindler's List, at the homily of a youth mass. The excerpt we used was the end scene where Oscar Schindler was being presented a ring made by all the Jewish families he saved from the Nazis. It's a very moving scene as Schindler realizes for the first time the value of a life. He is now haunted by each possession that he owns, realizing that it represents some additional number of lives he could have saved. For him, it is very real because he has been active in trading for lives throughout the war. The horror for him is that he can see with his own eyes the people he saved on a whim. That is, people he saved only for his own business or personal pleasure. People who literally are standing in front of him now. The awful reality sets in as his mind begins to grasp the unending number of people who are not there due to his not caring enough. He laments over his watch. It would have been traded for two or three more lives. His gold button, two or three more. His car, 10 lives, at least 10. And now the crowning touch, the Jewish people he has saved, again more out of convenience to himself, have written a letter to save his life should he be captured by the Allied forces who have finally broken through Hitler's army and brought it to its knees. How awful, we say, as we watch this man crumble on the screen before us. Yet each one of us will someday have a similar reckoning. Are you shocked by this thought? Are you wondering how you could be held responsible for something like this? After all, that was the Second World War. You were not even thought of at that point in time. Well, consider this. You have the ability to save lives now. Just as Oscar Schindler had the gold and money with which to buy lives, you have time and talent with which to save souls. God has given you life today with which to advance the kingdom. How are you using your gold? You may well know about Jesus and the love and forgiveness that he offers this tortured world. That is your wealth. Are you spending it wisely? Are you spending it to save others? We as a church should study the lives of the saints in order to learn how to spend our time and talents building the kingdom of God. Are you sharing the good news that you have found in Jesus Christ through his saints? Or are you sitting on that wealth of knowledge and squandering the time of your life on other things? When this life is over, Jesus will ask each of us, "Did you love me?" Our lives will be scrutinized, the Bible says every idle word, as to how we spent the time and talents God gave us. Did we save lives through our actions? Did we save souls with our prayers and examples? Did we use what we had to make a difference? Or did we just enjoy hearing stories about other people who did? Jesus also says, "Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me." It's not hard to make a difference, If you have to save a soul today, you might feel like you didn't even want to get out of bed. But it is never as hard as it seems. So you don't ever have to do the saving part. Jesus did that already. But you do need to let people know about Jesus and what he did. Try to be a good witness to him by being kind to others. The great saints catechized by their actions. St. Francis of Assisi would just walk through a town, and by seeing his example of poverty, chastity, and obedience, he would have preached the gospel to the whole town without ever saying a word. You can change your environment at home or at school by saying a kind word to a student who does not have many friends, or helping out around the house before someone asks you to do so. You can do something in the privacy of your own heart which could literally spin the world in a new direction. You can pray. We all see injustice and suffering happening in the news. How often do we pray about it? Simple prayers for the benefit of others. Prayers to be changed ourselves. Prayers for the conversion of the world. In the story of the buried talents from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14 and on, we see the three stewards being given various amounts of money to invest. We all know the story of the unfortunate guy who buries his talents and then gets in trouble when the master returns. The one person conspicuously missing from this story is the guy who invests the talents or money, yet loses it somehow. Is God telling us something here? Like maybe that could not happen with him? Remember, the master is mad at the man who buried his talents, or did nothing, with what little he was given. Notice in the story he's not given the most money. He's obviously not the most talented. He's not the most beautiful, or the most brilliant, or the richest, but the least. Two other guys were given more than him. Is God telling us something here? That it does not matter how little he's given you, you must invest it in the kingdom. Do not fear losing it, as that seems, at least in this parable, to be impossible. Instead, worry about not giving what little you've been given, as that seems to be the damnation of the fearful servant. We should go forward giving what little we have, since it is all God's anyway, and never fear failure, since he is the one who is asking us to invest. Remember, we are all just like Oscar Schindler during the war. We have a wealth to spend to save souls. Maybe not in gold, but in time and talent. Let's try to be like the saints we study and put our faith into action. Then when we face Jesus at the end of this life, we will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the reward which I have waiting for you." This is Mike Barone of St. Michael's Pod. Until we meet again, be good and be holy. And let prayer be your firewall. This and all other podcasts posted on stmichaelspod.com are the property of Michael A. Barone and may not be used in any form without written permission. To do so would be a violation of all applicable copyright laws.